What are church elders responsible for? How can we build trust between pastors and elders? And how can we hold one another accountable? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February is titled Pastors and Elders, Caring for the Church and One Another. You can check it out at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Pastors and Elders by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, Pastors and Elders.
My purpose in writing this book is to help you arrange your mind so that you choose happiness each and every day. Whatever challenges you may face, whatever circumstances are weighing you down, you can choose your response. How you live your life is totally up to you. It's not dependent on your circumstances, it's dependent on your choices.
An excerpt from Joel Osteen's latest book, Every Day a Friday, How to Be Happier 7 days a Week. Of course, happiness is the holy grail for us Americans, especially for Christians. What do we want out of religion? We want contentment, happiness, that sense of well-being, that sense that all is right with God, all is right with the world, and the brand of Christianity, if you can call it that, that Joel Osteen presents in each of his books and his latest, Every Day a Friday, is one that is focused on your personal happiness, your personal well-being, your personal self-fulfillment. He really is talking about self-fulfillment here. Joel Osteen is, in some ways, a horse of a different color because he is wildly successful beyond any of his predecessors' wildest dreams, and yet he's affable, he's friendly, he's down to earth, and he keeps it simple. Maybe that accounts for his popularity. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Monday afternoon. It's November the 14th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be reviewing Joel Osteen's latest book, Every Day a Friday. You can join us for the next hour, too. 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, talkback at issuesetc.org, or send us a tweet at issuesetc. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. He's pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Denver, Colorado, and co-host of a weekly radio show called Table Talk Radio. Brian, welcome back.
Todd, it's great to be with you.
Your reaction to what we heard from Joel Osteen there in the open, where he talks about choosing happiness, how your life turns out, how you live your life, is a choice that you make.
Yeah, well, the first thing he says, my purpose in writing this book is to help you arrange your mind, and I think that's a very important part. So what the book is doing, and really what Osteen is doing in all of his preaching and teaching and his old theology, is a kind of a mental arrangement. So that it starts by getting your mind right, and that affects your circumstances. It's really the more you read and the more you see it, it's really quite incredible. So if I can get my mind right, then I can choose to be happy. So my happiness can be based not on my circumstances, on the things happening around me, but on an act of my own will. And this is the source for Joel of everything good in this life. It's man's will.
Who is Joel Osteen? For those who may only have seen his picture, don't know anything about him.
Yeah, I always see Joel flipping through the channel. It seems like he's constantly on. He's the pastor of Lakewood Church in Houston, Texas. And it's a massive church. You and Jeff went to visit the church, didn't you?
We did on a Sunday some years ago.
45,000 people apparently go to the church on a Sunday morning, and he has his sermons are broadcast around the world, so millions of people will tune in and listen to his sermons. That's what he will call them anyway, sermons on a daily or weekly basis. He lives in Houston, and that's where he lives with his family there. So he is, like you said, probably the most famous of all of the famous megachurch pastors. His face and his smile are immediately recognizable from his preaching and his TV show, as well as you mentioned, I think, his books as well. This is just the latest in a number of books that he's written.
Real quick before we talk about the good here, does Joel overtly claim to be doing what he says his books are about? Is he living the dream?
I don't know. I mean, it seems like it. He's a pretty uh, he's a pretty funny guy. This is what I think is best about his book. I mean, he has a way of mocking himself that is really quite endearing. He even talks about it in the book, and he calls it his sinister affability, which I wish I would have thought of that. That's pretty good. And it seems like, I mean, his dad, remember, was the pastor of this church, and I guess he didn't go to seminary or have any training. I need to check on that, but he just, he kind of took over. He was doing the television broadcasting, and then when his dad died, he took over. He talks about his nervousness to do something like that, but then, you know, a couple people spoke faith into his life, and God put a dream in his heart, and he went for it, and seems like so far so good.
What is the good that you can take away from the latest book from Joel Osteen?
You know, the last time I read a book like this, it was so kind of miserably written that it was just laborious to get through. And he's actually not a bad, I don't know if he writes it himself, but it's not a poorly written book. It's kind of nice. I mean, it's fantastically repetitive. The best parts of the books are the little stories, you know, about how he talks about how he stood up to some bully and was going to beat him up, and then he says, "Nah, not really. I ran away like a scaredy cat." He has all sorts of stories like that about himself, which are pretty good. They're pretty funny stories, and he does. So he does have this kind of likability to him, just personally, a fantastically winsome personality. That's probably the best part. And also, I suspect every now and again there's some good advice in the book. The problem is Joel will then tack a scripture onto it. And every time he quotes a scripture, I'd write in the margin, I'd write three little letters, TST, which is my way of saying terrible scripture twisting. And I think there was one verse in the book that was a right exposition of the text. He actually used the verse in the appropriate way. And I went back to try to find it, and I couldn't find it, because every time he quotes the scriptures, he's twisting the meaning of the scriptures and making it say something that the Bible is simply not saying.
A big thing for Joel Osteen in his preaching and his writing and in this latest book is the power of faith.
When you meditate on the goodness of God, it will help you to have the right perspective and to release your faith. When your faith is released, God's power is activated. You will see him show up and give you something else to put on your list.
Okay, what is his definition of faith, and what is this releasing your faith he's talking about?
This is a really, I mean, and this is the key to the whole, I mean, why the word faith movement is called the word faith movement. Joel is a member of this whole kind of realm of false doctrine. He's always on the Trinity Broadcasting Network, and he's buddies with all these guys, but I don't know if he tries to publicly distance himself from them, or if he's just so much bigger than these guys. But this is the kind of core false doctrine, is that faith is an active, faith is really an act of your own will. It's almost as if faith is a substance, but faith is an act of your own will by which you are now creating something. You're making reality come to pass. So Joel would say, he doesn't say stay in the faith, he'll say stay in faith. He'll use that phrase over and over and over again, which means, I think, if you have a positive outlook, then you're going to bring good things to happen to you. Faith is like the internal electromagnet of blessing, and you got to switch that dude on, and then all sorts of great things will just start being drawn to you. That's what he means by faith. So it's precisely the opposite of what faith means in the scriptures. I mean, faith means in the scriptures believing God's promise. Faith in the scriptures means that you don't have something, that you lack, that you're empty, and God is now going to come and give you a gift, and you're going to rejoice in receiving that gift. But for Joel, it's the opposite. You have it in you, and now you're going to be able to draw even more blessing to yourself.
So if you're not experiencing the blessing, the favor, all his catchwords there, in this kind of obvious way in your life, things going your way, great and small.
Increase, promotion, destiny, yep.
What's your problem, according to Joel?
Well, you're not in faith. You're letting your own power be clouded with negativity, with doubt, with frustration, with anger. See, all these things get in the way. It's like they block the signal of this electromagnet for God's blessing. And so if you so you're blocking the signal. So you got to get rid of all those negative things. You got to get rid of all the self-doubt. You got to get rid of all the worry. You got to get rid of all the sadness. You got to stop being down. You got to be happy. And now the universe will begin to curve in on you, and you'll be a kind of gravity point for God's goodness. But it's not just that too. I mean, God is waiting for you to do it, so that it's faith that activates God's power. And the assumption there is that God's power is not switched on until you switch it on. God's up there. Maybe he has some gifts to give you, but he's not going to give them to you unless you're in faith, unless you've somehow prepared yourself for them.
Where does Jesus? I mean, the proper understanding of biblical faith is its object. That is. Specifically, Christ crucified for sinners. That is the object of Christian faith. Where does Jesus fit into Joel's definition of faith?
No, and he's not at all there. In fact, Joel will mention Jesus every once in a while, but it's always these examples. He's always the example of the one who has faith and so receives God's blessing, which is really, really strange to see, because Jesus is the one who empties himself so that he might, pour his life out for us and save us. Not that he would be the recipient of God's blessings. It's very, very strange. But Joel is not interested in the object of faith. I mean, we say that anytime you have the word faith, that you also have to have a promise that faith believes in. But as close as you can get to that, as close as you could get to the promise that faith believes, is this idea that Joel says that you have the seeds of greatness on the inside of you. In other words, what you're to believe is that you are great, that you are good, that you are whole, that you are happy. How did you say it? I'm strong. I'm happy. I have a smile. I have joy. I have God's favor. I have victory. I'm handsome enough, I'm smart enough, so that the thing that you're supposed to believe in is yourself.
Well, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. Well Begun is Half Done. We'll continue our review of Joel Osteen's latest book, Every Day a Friday, with Pastor Wolfmiller right after this.
Emmanuel Lutheran Church of Pensacola, Florida. Silly with commercials, serious with God.
Howdy, folks. Old Gush here. When I'm not out fixing up something with Country Bob's or picking on my banjo with Matt, I saddle up and head on down the trail till I hit the white sandy beaches of Pensacola, Florida. And on Sunday, you can find me at Emmanuel Lutheran Church.
Emmanuel Lutheran Church invites you to divine service every Sunday at 8 and 10:30 a.m. Bible classes for all ages at 9:15.
Stay Lutheran, my friends!
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
The Essence of God's Word. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. The Lutheran Church of the Good Shepherd in Greenville, South Carolina, St. Paul Lutheran, Chatfield, Minnesota, St. John Lutheran, Napoleon, Ohio, First Lutheran, Lufkin, Texas, Concordia Lutheran, Sykeston, Missouri, Hope Lutheran, Granite City, Illinois, Trinity Lutheran, Gladson, Alabama, and Lord of Life Lutheran, Chesterfield, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues, Etc. 300. Welcome back. We're reviewing Joel Osteen's latest book, Every Day a Friday. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. He's pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Denver, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio show called Table Talk Radio. And I was thinking about this, Brian. because that list that Joel gives, I'm happy, I have a smile, I have victory. 16th century reformer Luther would have said, I am baptized, in contrast to all of that. You actually produce some baptismal certificates for the church, don't you?
Yeah, that's right. A good friend of mine, Jason Hansen, who's a great graphic designer, he helped me put together a certificate. And after we looked at it, I said, boy, we got to get this for everyone. So it's we put some woodcuts on there. We put all four Bible passages and the catechism about baptism, and we make it available to churches electronically. So we put the church name in there and the city and state, and then they can add all the other information. And we just, you guys were plugging it for us a bit and appreciate that. We just came out a few weeks ago with a colorized version of that baptismal certificate. So if congregations are interested in picking those up, it's $35 for the black and white and $50 for the color, and you can print as many as you want forever, the life of the congregation. And that's at wolfsoncreative.com. You can download a sample and take a look and see if it'd be something helpful. I have it for our kids, you know, and Carrie's getting framed so we can put them on their wall so they can wake up every morning and go to bed every night and look at their baptismal certificate and say the same thing that Luther did. I am baptized. I belong to Jesus.
You can find out more about these baptismal certificates under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Okay, another big theme in Joel Osteen's preaching and in his latest book, Every Day of Friday, is the favor of God.
When you begin each day in faith, anticipating something good, God will arrange things in your favor. He'll give you good breaks, line up the right people, and open up the right doors. That's what allows God to show up and do amazing things.
What is the favor of God according to Joel Osteen?
It is just, this is so incredible that someone would say something like this. I can't, his favorite two words are when and if. And there's a reason for that, because God is waiting for us to act. It's conditional upon us. We move first. We believe first. We pray first. We desire first. We want first. We have faith first. And then the Lord comes up and does his work. And in fact, in this quotation, it's our faith that allows God to show up and do amazing things. I mean, it's as if God is somehow powerless until we give him the power. It is incredible. And then what does God do? Is he gives you breaks. He makes the right connections. He opens the right door. He makes everything go well. He makes everything go well in this life. It's really quite. We're studying Hebrews in Bible class on Sunday morning, and we're in Hebrews chapter 11 talking about faith, and so we are talking about Enoch, and Enoch, it says, walked with God and he was no more, and how exactly the opposite of that is than Joel Osteen. I mean, here Enoch, before the flood, all the treasures of the world are there for him, and you know how God is going to show Enoch favor and show him mercy and give him gifts? He's going to take him out of this world into heaven. That's how he's going to. I mean, that's the kind of favor and mercy that we're looking for from God, that we would finally be before the face of Jesus, that he would rescue us from this veil of tears and take us to himself in heaven. That's the favor and mercy of God that faith is looking for, but not for Joel. It's faith is God's favor is all these kind of different blessings that come to us on the earth. Things that, you know, you get a promotion at work, or you find a beautiful woman to marry, or you have a good joke to tell, or, I mean, this kind of earthly stuff. It's storing up your treasures on earth, where the moths eat and the rust destroys, is what it is.
Chris listens in Sterling Heights, Michigan. Hi, Chris. Thanks for waiting.
Yes, Pastor. I was wondering if Joel leaves any room for law and gospel or Jesus in any of his teaching.
That is a great question. Thank you very much for listening in Michigan. What do you say, Pastor?
Well, no, in fact, I mean, Joel's whole thing, he cannot preach the law. It's simply impossible for him. And the reason is because man is not a sinner. I mean, his anthropology, that is, his doctrine of man, is utterly unbiblical. I mean, you know, the worst kind of anthropological heresy in the church was Pelagianism, which says that man's will is good. And then we have to fight all the time with semi-Pelagianism. Man's will is sick, but still has some capacity. The Bible says that man's will is dead. But Joel is a hyper-Pelagian. He says that man's will is powerful, that man's will is creative, that you have the seeds of greatness on the inside, that God is waiting for you to act. And you can't preach the law if that's what you think of man. I mean, you can't come along and say, hey, you're a poor, miserable sinner if you're not a sinner. You can't tell someone that they stand condemned and worthy of God's wrath if you think that they're good. In fact, if you think that they're so good that God is waiting on them, if you think that they're so good that they can actually create things by the act of their own will, I mean, there's no room for the law there. And if there's no room for the law, if there's no sin, if there's no condemnation, if there's no teaching that man is utterly corrupt and deserving God's wrath, then there's certainly no room for the gospel.
One of the things I've discovered in listening to Joel, watching him, and reading his books is that he's really talented at sounding scripture-ish. And here's an example talking about who is the light of the world.
The scripture talks about how as believers, we represent God on the earth. We are Christ ambassadors. If we're to represent God properly, we should do it with joy, with enthusiasm, with a smile. People of faith are supposed to be the lights of the world. I believe the switch that turns the light on is a smile. Some who lack faith may not want to listen to what we believe, but they will certainly watch how we live. We are living epistles, read by all men. Some people may not read the Bible, but they're reading our lives. As the saying goes, preach at all times, use words only when necessary.
I mean, there's a lot there to react to. Let's start with the switch that turns the light on is a smile.
Isn't that the craziest thing? I mean, there's a whole chapter at the beginning about smiling and a whole chapter at the end about laughing. Which I'm not against smiling or laughing, for that matter. I'm all for it. But for Joel, a smile, he said it there. A smile is the switch that turns the light on. You're the light of the world. How do you become the light of the world? By smiling at people. He tells a story about how he was at a ticket counter, and the lady said that there's going to be a fee for the bag change, and he smiled at her, and she canceled the fee, and then he smiled some more, and the price of the ticket went down, and he says, if I kept smiling, I think she would have been giving me money, which is a pretty funny story, but completely not the point of what the scriptures are saying. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Joel says, your smile is the light of the world. Now, if you want to make your smile into God, that's fine, but just don't pretend like that's what the Bible says. The Bible says that the light of the world is Jesus. And how do we shine the light of Christ among men? Well, it probably ought to have something to do with Jesus and his forgiveness and his death on the cross for us.
And it's almost kind of this, I picture this kind of tyranny of happiness, that if a Christian isn't smiling, then he isn't the light of the world and he isn't doing what God wants him to do as a representative in the world. And if I believe that, we are human beings. We can't all be giddy all the time. I'm just going to plaster on a fake smile all the time, and at least I'll pass the smell test when I show up to Lakewood.
He does talk about fake smiles in here somewhere. If you can't really smile, then fake it. And your emotions will come along.
Okay, what's this notion that we heard from him? And he actually quotes St. Paul, we are a living epistles read by all men. What's written in the living epistle that Joel Osteen would have you be?
Yeah, that you can overcome difficulties and that all will be well in this life. never mind Paul, who was himself, you know, shipwrecked, and let down the town through a basket and stoned three times and locked up in jail all over the place and dragged around here and there, who was injured and wounded and sick and poor and hungry and thirsty for Jesus because he was going around preaching the gospel against opposition. No, never mind that. How we smile is that God gives us success and increase, promotion, and he fulfills the dream in our heart. And we've reached some sort of a point of emotional riches. I do think, by the way, that we have a moral obligation to be happy, but I do not think that we should make the mistake of saying that that's the gospel. I mean, when the law of God tells us to be content in the ninth and tenth commandments, it is one of the fiercest commandments that we ought to be happy and that we ought to be joyful. We sin against those commandments all the time, and we ought to be able to confess that, and then to hear that the Lord Jesus forgives even our lack of contentment. He forgives even our wrongly directed desires. But for Joel, that's the end. You know, that's where it's all headed. Is that you're finally at last happy?
Is there any hint, any glimmer, if you will, of a theology of the cross that is living under the shadow of the cross in Joel Osteen's theology? 30 seconds before we take a break.
Well, that's, you know, you don't need 30 seconds. The answer is no. I mean, there's no cross at all. I mean, it's pure theology of glory. I mean, it's theology of glory as strong as it gets. I don't know how any more glorious it could be, which is why there's hardly room at all on the pages for Jesus. And there's certainly no room for God, who's willing to suffer in our place for our sins so that he can forgive us.
Pastor Brian Wolf-Miller is our guest. He's pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Denver, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio show called Table Talk Radio. We're reviewing Joel Osteen's latest book, Every Day of Friday, on this Monday afternoon, November the 14th.
Imagine SteadfastLutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm, so check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
Thanks for supporting the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. through the charitable grant program Thrivent Choice. We received more than $15,000 last year through Thrivent Choice. Our goal this year is to raise more than $20,000 through Thrivent Choice. For more information on how you can designate funds to Lutheran Public Radio, look for the Thrivent logo under the donate page at issuesetc.org. Please support Issues Etc. in 2012 with Thrivent Choice.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
For decades, universities have declared academic campuses are an environment for free speech. Now, liberal places of higher learning are carving out some exceptions. The University College London passed a motion officially declaring the campus pro-abortion. It dictates campus groups, even chaplaincies, have to invite pro-abortion speakers in equal numbers to pro-life events. Of course, their goal isn't to have balanced speech. They're afraid people will hear the truth about abortion. Here's an example of how ridiculous the situation is. The university says events must invite both, and these are their words, anti-choice speakers as well as pro-choice speakers, to ensure balance. This is nothing more than an effort to drive free pro-life speech from campus.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
We are right at the middle of November. That means about a month and a half before many congregations are going to be writing it in stone, the budget for the next fiscal year in many Christian congregations is being decided right now, especially within the next couple weeks, certainly by the beginning of December. So time is a-wasting, as they say where I come from, for you to go to your congregation and ask your congregation to, well, help out Issues Etc. in a significant way by joining the Issues Etc. 300. It's our congregational support program. By it, congregations decide, with $1,000 or more in their budget, their annual budget that's being decided right now to support Issues Etc. They become part of the Issues Etc. 300, and there are all sorts of benefits to that. You can find out what they are and take this request to your congregation in the next couple of weeks. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support. There's a one-page flyer there that you can take to your congregation when you ask them to join the Issues Etc. 300. And remember, time is of the essence. We're reviewing Joel Osteen's latest book, Every Day of Friday. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. Back to the phones. Herman's listening in Illinois. Hi, Herman.
Hi, and thank you for taking my call. Yes, Pastor Wolfmiller, I would just venture that one distinction between Joel Osteen and the mainline liberal denominations is that Joel Osteen, in focusing on the person rather than God, intensely markets it to individuals and hence its popularity, whereas mainline liberal denominations put it in the guise of a collectivistic, politically correct, privileged victimhood groups that need to be served by the individuals. And you also hear the idea of positive thinking of Norman Vincent Peale rattling around in Joel Osteen as well.
Well, there's no doubt about that. Herman, thank you very much for listening in Illinois. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I mean, there's this great appeal for Joel, which is, this is one of his phrases. I couldn't find it in the book anywhere. He says, don't be a victim, be a victor. Where the I think Herman is right. The liberal churches are saying, hey, you should be a victim. We're all victimized together, you know, by big oil or whatever. But Joel is preaching the opposite thing. Hey, life has beat you down, but you can get back up. You know, you can pick yourself up by your own bootstraps. In fact, more than that, you've got the seeds of greatness on the inside. So you can work your own destiny. You can take charge of your own blessing, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that's a great distinction to make.
In Kansas City, Mike's on the line. Mike, thanks for waiting.
Yeah, thank you, Pastor Wilkin. I wish people listening would consider supporting Issues, et cetera. It's a great resource. And I had a couple of comments. One, Oprah Winfrey was promoting this thing not too long ago called The Secret. And Joel Osteen, I mean, I agree with Herman concerning Norman Vincent Peale and Joel Osteen's promotion of positive thinking. It really boils down to like the secrets Eastern mysticism. And the only other comment that I had has to do with the title of his book. Every day a Friday, it's almost as if he's saying, have your best Friday now, when, and this is sadly ironic, Friday was actually our Redeemer's worst Friday then. I mean, I think that's really telling concerning how Joel Osteen holds to Christ.
Well, missed opportunity in the title of that book. I mean, he could have pointed it right to the cross. Thank you very much, Mike. Smartest listeners in radio. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, we don't have every day of Friday, but we do have Good Friday. I mean, that is what a preacher of the gospel ought to get around to. I don't know if there's some connection between Osteen and Oprah, aside from they both start with "oh," and also they had these books that were all just very almost the exact same. So didn't Oprah write a book, Your Best Life, and then Osteen wrote Your Best Life Now? That's amazing.
There is a connection. I've made that one before.
Yeah, it's because it's the same thing. I mean, it's the same thing. You got to be happy. So here's how you're going to do it. And Mike mentioned mysticism. We're going to, in some of the quotes coming up, we're going to dive right into the mysticism, because look, if God is on the inside of you, if you have a will that's able to create, I mean, that's pure mysticism, and it'll come out more and more. In fact, The book becomes more and more mystical as you get into it. You have this divine connection, this unity with God on the inside, etc. And so the external word is marginalized. In fact, it's not even necessary, because what matters is the thing that God plants on the inside.
Well, let's hear a little bit more from Joel Osteen. Here he's talking, in essence, about the proper attitude that a Christian ought to have.
Now, your lot in life is to excel. It's to go further. It's to make a difference in this world. Take a stand and say, I will not settle where I am. I was made for more. I'm a child of the Most High God. I have seeds of greatness on the inside. I'm going to rise up and be the best that I can be right here, knowing that God will take me where I'm supposed to go.
What is Joel saying?
Well, this is his anthropology here, again, coming his doctrine of man, and that is that on the inside you have the seeds of greatness. Now, what a Christian ought to do is simply stop and pause there and say, do I have the seeds of greatness on the inside? I mean, maybe the first question is, what in the world does that mean, I have the seeds of greatness on the inside? And then we ought to ask if the Bible says anything like that and if it's true or not. Now, I think what he means by you have the seeds of greatness on the inside is that you have, the old mystics would say it like this, you have a spark of divinity in you. Your soul is a part of the divine nature. The Eastern mystics would just say it clearly, but that, you know, the Western Christian mystics really get about as close as Joel does here to saying the same sort of thing, that there's some sort of spark of the divine nature that's on the inside. And if you got the spark of the divine nature inside of you, then what are you going to do? Let this, you know, let the, you lost a job or you got sick, or you're going to let that get to you? No. You got health in store. You got riches in store. You're a God walking around the earth is what you are. You're not going to let this get you down. You got the seeds of greatness on the inside. Now, the Bible says the opposite. I mean, out of the heart flows every manner of wickedness. No one does good. No one seeks after God, etc. We are, according to the scriptures, wretched, poor, miserable, blind, and naked. We do not have the seeds of greatness on the inside. We're sinners. But never mind what the Bible says. That doesn't help your popularity. What we need here is to exalt human nature, and this is exactly how Joel does it. And by the way, you have the quote here, but this is a theme that runs all the way through the book. I mean, probably 5, 6, 7 times, you have the seeds of greatness on the inside. It's a mantra. Repeat it to yourself, and it'll make it true.
Okay, here's Joe. He's listening in his car.
Hi, Todd. I can see what Olstein gets out of this, popularity and money probably, and I can see that his followers or people who might try to adhere to this get a short-term benefit with the ego stroke along the lines of what you were just talking about, but long-term, what do people get out of this? I mean, when reality hits, what happens? What do they do? Thanks.
Great question. What do you say?
Yeah, now I don't want to at all question Joel's motives. I think that Joel believes what he's teaching here, and that he's convinced of it, and I have got no reason to doubt that. But to talk on the other side of the outcomes, I think that's, in fact, very important. Because, you know, anytime you don't have the gospel, the only two options are pride or despair. That's it. That's the only choices. And oftentimes, it's like being on a swing. And it's just swinging back and forth between one and the other. I go whoop, and up there I'm prideful, and I'm getting increase and favor, and everything promotion, and everything's going my way. And then whoosh, I fall apart. And now I gotta not let my emotions be governed by circumstance, but by my choices. I gotta will my way out of this slump, and then whoop, back up to now to the top. It's this terrible seesaw of sinful man between pride and despair. And the end of that, by the way, ultimately is destruction. I mean, apart from faith in Christ, the end of man, no matter how prideful he is or how despairing he is, his end is destruction, an eternity apart from God. And that's really why this matters so much, Todd. I mean, Jesus cannot stand to have us in our sinfulness, and so he takes upon our flesh and blood and dies for us, to rescue us, and then he sends us his word. He forgives our sins. He calls us by his name in baptism. He does all of this so that he could have us as his own dear children. But here Joel would teach us to say, no thanks. I don't need any of that. What I need is simply to have a better outlook on things and to remember I got the seeds of greatness on the inside.
Here is how Joel, in his latest book, Every Day of Friday, would counsel Christians to deal with guilt.
One way you know that guilt and condemnation are not from God is they don't help you improve. They don't help you to do better. When you go around feeling bad about yourself, you are much more likely to make another mistake. Don't spend time thinking about what's wrong with you, but rather about what's right with you. The young lady that gave her baby up for adoption, I told her, "Look at you. You're beautiful. You're talented. You're successful. You've got a great job. Why are you still so down on yourself? That's over and done."
With about 30 seconds here before we take a break, what's your reaction to how he views guilt?
It's really quite incredible. So your conscience condemns you when you sin, when you've done something wrong, and Joel comes along. I just can't believe it. And here's this young lady who's feeling guilty because she gave up her baby for adoption. And rather than mentioning, by the way, Jesus forgives you, he says, "Look at you." I mean, those three words, look at you. The writer of Hebrews says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Joel says, let us fix our eyes on ourselves. You're beautiful. You're talented. You're successful. You've got a great job. Why are you so down? This is done and over. He would point the person to themselves rather than to God. But I shouldn't say that, because when Joel points a person to themselves, he is pointing them to their God. I mean, for Joel, God is ourselves. We are each a little God that have this control and power. It's really, really frightful.
It's Monday afternoon, the 14th of November. What kind of questions or comments do you have about Joel Osteen's new book, Every Day of Friday? 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MY-I-E. Send us an email right here in the studio. talkback@issuesetc.org. In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues, etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc. and you.
Sacramental, historical, liturgical. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
It's here, it's here, it's finally here. Lutheran Catechesis Catechist Edition. A comprehensive guide to catechesis for a Lutheran congregation, including expanded helps on the catechism, a section of catechesis on the table of duties, Christian vocation, and learn-by-heart schedules for the congregation at prayer. Order yours today from the Concordia Catechetical Academy at peacesussex.org.
You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org. There's an app for that. It's part one of a two-part review of Joel Osteen's latest book, Every Day of Friday, on Issues Etc. this Monday afternoon. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. He's pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Denver, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio show called Table Talk Radio. We will post a link to Table Talk Radio at our website on the Listen on Demand page, issuesetc.org. Now, before we went to the break, you were simply saying that if Joel has this outset, this mindset, and everyone else has the same mindset, it's all going to work. It seems a very mechanical way of viewing God. It seems a very, I literally flip a switch in my mind and God does something, as though, well, it kind of makes God sound a little bit like a puppet.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that's always what mysticism does. Every teaching or doctrine that exalts man's will ends up making God into a robot, and it destroys the name of the Lord. He loses the fact that that God is a person, three persons, that God is interacting with us, all of this sort of thing. That God is not free, because if I'm free, then God is not. If God is waiting for me to act, if my faith is what's activating God's will, then I'm the one that's free, and God is not free. So you're exactly right.
Guilt is not from God. I just can hardly imagine the spiritual danger he is putting people in when he says, look, it just works this way. Guilt is going to get in the way of you turning the mechanism. Disregard guilt. What in the world is that going to do in the life of a Christian? You're going to have to eventually settle on the fact that you're not a sinner to remain sane.
I know. I mean, it's crazy, isn't it? I mean, guilt gets in the way. Guilt gets in the way of your climb to greatness. So guilt is simply an obstacle. I mean, never mind that the Lord has built a conscience in to tell us when we break his law. I mean, never mind that our conscience is warning us that we deserve God's wrath. I mean, never mind that the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, like Jesus says, so that whenever we know that we're a sinner, we know that we need to look for a Savior and that we find him in Christ. Never mind that Jesus breathes on his disciples and sends them out to forgive sins, and that he's given authority among men to forgive. Never mind any of that, because that all of that old that stuff gets in the way of me achieving my divine great destiny, the promise God put in my heart or whatever. Yep. It's crazy. So how do you deal with guilt? And this is, and you know, the devil loves this, because I think the devil has this idea. You know how the Catholic Church has the idea of the treasury of merit? I'm getting my own idea about that the devil has a little treasury of guilt. And so the devil loves it when our conscience is so out of whack that we can sin and not feel guilty about it. And he could just keep it in a little bank account, all the things that Wilkins done. That he doesn't even know all the sins, and he just keeps them there for an opportune time, and then whenever we're feeling particularly bad, he'll just dump it on us and try to push us into despair. And so the devil's kind of loved this thing, you know, just get rid of guilt. Never mind that sin, your own sin caused it. Just push it away.
Very peculiar telling and interpretation of the familiar story of the prodigal son in Joel Osteen's latest book, Every Day of Friday.
Don't be a beggar, be a believer. Believe God forgave you the first time. You don't have to keep asking. I love the story of the prodigal son. The young man took his inheritance and left home, went out partying, living wild, undisciplined, making terrible choices. He blew his whole inheritance, lost it all. Finally, he had no money, no place to stay. He ended up working on a farm, feeding hogs. He was so desperate, so hungry, he had to eat the animals' food just to stay alive. But one day, as he was sitting in the hog pen, guilty, condemned, ashamed, depressed, something rose up on the inside. He thought to himself, "Even the servants at my father's house live better than this. And here I am sitting in the hog pen, wallowing in defeat and mediocrity." He made a statement that changed his future. Without this statement, we would have heard no more of this young man. He said, "I will arise and go to my father." He was saying, "Yes, I've made mistakes. I brought the trouble on myself, but I won't allow one bad season of my life to ruin my future. I will arise." Maybe today you've made poor choices. You're not where you want to be in life. The accusing voice keeps telling you it's your fault. You're too bad. You brought it on yourself. If you're to be restored, if you're to fulfill your destiny, it's not up to God. It's up to you. Do like this young man and say, "I may be down, but I'm not staying down. I may have made mistakes. It's my fault, but I know the secret. I will arise and go to my father."
I hardly know what to do with that, but what is he fundamental? Where is the you have your little TST. Terrible, terrible scripture twisting. Where does he twist the hardest in that story?
And then it keeps going, you know. Here in this quotation just gets worse. I mean, here's the center of this whole thing. I mean, here Jesus tells this parable, this beautiful, beautiful parable about the Father's mercy. And Joel Osteen is telling us a parable about the power of the ability of the Son. it's this amazing ability to make the Bible say exactly what the Bible says, exactly the opposite of what the Bible says. Here the center of the parable for Joel is that the boy who went and the prodigal son there, that he made a statement to change his future. So he made this statement. He declared I will arise and go to my Father. And that's what makes the difference. So now you're in the dumps. Now you have to start declaring things. In fact, pretty soon after this, Joel's going to start declaring things on all the pages to us who are reading it. But you got to start declaring things, and those declaring things are changing your reality. But there were some real doozies in there. I mean, the worst one is this: if you're to be restored, if you're to fulfill your destiny, it's not up to God; it's up to you. I mean, that is unbelievable. I do not understand how a Christian could even think to utter such words. I mean, Jesus is the one who comes and does and serves and lives and dies and rises. He is the one who came to seek and to save the lost. You did not choose me, says Jesus. I chose you. I mean, this is just like saying, look, Jesus, thanks for the offer of salvation and everything, but I can take care of it myself. I know how to do it. I'll declare it, and I'll change my future.
Brian, next Monday we're going to complete our review of Joel Osteen's book, Every Day of Friday, with about 30 seconds. What's in store next week?
Hey, I think I've arrived. This is the first time we've done a series of interviews. I think
you have arrived.
God has given me increase. We're going to talk about mysticism, talk about what Joel means by forgiveness. We'll talk about the role of words. We'll talk about how Joel understands the gospel. And really we'll get to the core of it even a bit more, is how our will is intended by God to be powerful. That's what Joel would teach. And we want to look at the scriptures and compare it to that.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Denver, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio program called Table Talk Radio. Brian, look forward to next week's conversation.
Yeah, me too, Todd. Thanks a million.
Folks, if you appreciate timely shows like this review of Joel Osteen's best-selling book, Every Day of Friday, please consider making a year-end, tax-deductible gift to support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. No gift is too small. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also make a financial contribution by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio. Send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. That's LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening. Thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of this year. I can only imagine what it's like for people who have, either out of ignorance of what the Bible says or out of just a willful desire to disregard it, believed what Joel has written in his books or what he preaches on television. What must it be like? You have to be happy, and if you're not happy, it's your own fault. Think about the man who has spent his whole life striving and struggling, and life hasn't been easy for him. Now, Joel would say, that struggle just means you're on the edge of victory. You haven't realized your potential. You haven't realized that the seeds of greatness are on the inside of you, and that if you simply declare it, it will be. And this man, after a long, hard life, things haven't gone so well for him. Maybe he gets sick and he's in the hospital, and the doctors tell him, "That's it, we can't do anything more for you." And he's looking back on that life, having sadly believed what Joel says, that he has seeds of greatness on the inside of him. He's running out of time. Now he can't get up out of the hospital bed, much less go out and change his life by an act of his will. Time's running out for him. And he's got to look back on that life and say, I failed. Maybe I wasn't even a Christian. Maybe God never showed me any favor at all. And man, if this is what my life's been like here, what's it going to be like after this? Add to that no hope, no prospect, no glimmer of Christ's sacrifice for sins, that Christ has indeed done it all. I can't think of anything darker. In contrast to that, the light of a life lived with struggles and hardships and sins under the forgiveness and mercy of God bought for us at the cross, giving you assurance even when your life hasn't turned out the way you hoped it would. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.